Welcome to this podcast series from Barlow McCarthy. We're sharing ideas from physician relations leaders across the country about the deployment of their teams, the work they are doing, and the insights they're learning with COVID-19. Now here is today's interview.
Today's podcast guest, Anamika Desai, leads the physician relations efforts at Hackensack Meridian in New Jersey. She was quick to shift her plans for her team, which includes 3 market leads and 4 additional field staff. So today, Anamika, thank you for your willingness to share. Let's get started. The listeners are going to be very interested in hearing your approach. And I thought we'd start with asking you to define how the hospital leaders are collaborating with the liaisons to communicate those key messages.
Sure. So when we made the decision to pull the team out of the field, the first thing that we did was brainstorm what can we do with our time outside of the field. And when communicating some of that project work to the CH, the chief hospital executives, which we call the CHEs, they were quick to also add on to that. Not so much project work, but how can we boost up their virtual outreach? One of the main things that came across from our CHEs consistently through the network is, you know, the fact to let the doctors know that we're still open, and if the physicians are not comfortable coming in, they can use our hospitalists. They can utilize anybody from an administrative point to help them in terms of guidance and advice on how best to handle the problems that they're facing in their independent offices. They offered themselves to both, you know, employed CIN as well as independent practices in terms of a resource. And recently we had a really great example of a private practitioner, completely independent, who was just saying he was running out of protective equipment. He only had 20 gowns, so many masks, and he was really concerned about the staff that he has in his practice. And what can, you know, he do? And he reached out to our administration for guidance. That quickly got escalated up to leadership. Leadership put together quickly a nice guideline document and offered themselves as resources for that provider. The provider was so happy. And, you know, it was just a sense of, I guess, anxious and a little bit of panic because they just didn't have anywhere else to go. So that's definitely one of the ways that the CHEs have been utilizing us.
It's a great story.
Yeah, no, it comes full circle. And then, you know, what's happening as our team is going out there and connecting virtually with the offices, we're getting a lot of questions around telehealth and telemedicine. And while our system has a great telehealth option, it's a little bit different for the independent practices where they're not really on that platform. And we have a great telehealth lead who, you know, is recommending 2 different options or platforms for those folks that are independent. They're welcome to join the panel of physicians that we have on our telehealth program. Again, the messaging there had to be very careful because it's not telehealth just for that particular office's patients. It's an on-demand service, so they would have to, you know, take care of all the patients that are in queue. And our telehealth lines have been 1 to 2 hours long. In some areas of our state, it's 2 to 4 hours long. So that's been immensely helpful, just connecting with their practices and giving them that as a resource as well.
Boy, that's a nice value add for them. So for their time out of the field, I suspect you've asked the team to take on some special projects. What kinds of projects have you asked them to do? And share with our listeners about the guidance you're providing for them to accomplish those tasks.
Sure. So we came up with a list of about 10 projects, all of which that really need some time and thought and dedicated time to just think about it. Our practices and our liaisons are typically just go, 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 and it's rare that we get opportunities like this. So one of the projects that we have that everyone is working on is looking at creating referral neighborhood documents. So we have lots of employed and independent practices and Just in efforts of keepage, how can we best support those practices and making sure that their documents are up to date? A lot of providers have left, a lot of providers have joined in their, let's just say, 10 or 20 mile radius of their practices. So helping clean up those documents or helping create them for those practices. Another one that we're working on is regional CME planning. Really thinking about, and we have three regions, what would be the one or two or three different services as we think about the rest of 2020, what's happening in the market, what new competition has entered that market, and how do we counterbalance that? Or is it an actual need? Let's take advantage of our large network. Not every hospital offers the same service. And if there is a gap in service, how can we utilize our providers at some of our other network facilities to then come down and help educate and provide those physician connections from an inter-regional standpoint. A third that we're doing, which I think is going to always be a work in progress, is training slides. As we get new folks that join our network, whether it's because of a merger or an acquisition, or we just have your typical team turnover, we are, you know, still developing a formal training program, and not all the hospitals have that in terms of having a document that has all of our key programs and services, what's going on in terms of competition, what would our messaging be in a specific area, and really understanding who does what at every single hospital. Again, that's something that, you know, you need time to sit and do, and it's not something that, and it's always changing. There's always people coming and going. So updating what we have and creating where we don't have is another project that everyone's working on. Lastly, I guess the last two that really need time is onboarding and marketing. Onboarding is something that's really defined differently at every one of our facilities. We have a mix of academic and community. Some facilities have a formal structure, some do not. We have input coming in from a recruitment standpoint, input coming in from medical staff standpoint. So I asked the team to really think about what should the program look like at each of our facilities and who else should we include in that process. And, you know, really thinking about not just physician-to-physician connections, but thinking internal stakeholders, thinking external stakeholders, look at it from a PCP point of view, and then looking at it from a specialty point of view. So creating that document. And lastly is marketing. We can never do enough with having some sort of referral tool to give to our providers. We always have something. Our marketing team is excellent in putting program brochures together, but do we have anything that's very specific to our physician audience? I think that there's always opportunity. And if we're able to do the legwork in creating some of the high points of information that our offices are requesting, it often works really well when we're collaborating with marketing to get those pieces done expeditiously. So we're looking at that from a programmatic standpoint. How am I supporting everybody? It's really every region is has a different density of patients that have tested positive for COVID-19. So to say that, I'm just saying that from a very careful point of view, where there's a higher density of patients, the needs are very different. Those offices are really reaching out and asking, how do I use telehealth? Which urgent cares do we send our patients to for screening purposes? We actually have a doctor who wants to volunteer in our ER, who's an independent provider, works in another urgent care, but only has three shifts, so she wants to volunteer her time. So really supporting and removing barriers for those providers and for those liaisons. As we move and travel south or south of New Jersey or down south away from New York, it's a very different situation. It's not as high of a density, although there's definitely some angst. So when it comes to project work, as questions are popping up, I'm able to help them navigate and find the right resource. But again, what we're finding as the team is doing virtual outreach is more and more offices are closing, or they're only seeing sick patients, or they're only seeing well patients. There's a lot of questions about telehealth. There's a lot of questions about urgent care. And there's a lot of questions about protective equipment. So it's a lot of navigating those questions to the right folks operationally to get those questions answered in a timely fashion to then respond back to those providers.
Wow, all really great insights. And I am sure that your list of those different kinds of projects is going to mirror what's happening mm-hmm. for a lot of other organizations. So mm-hmm. we've so appreciated these few minutes with you and reserve the right to say in a few weeks, we may need to check back and see the status of the next step. So thanks so much for your time today.
Absolutely. Happy to help.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's podcast. For follow-up and feedback, join us on the LinkedIn group we've created called COVID-19 and Physician Relations. If you have topics of interest, or better yet, an idea to share with your colleagues, feel free to send us an email at info@barlamccarthy.com.